difference a week makes, huh? Last time, or last week at this time, you probably couldn't get out of your house, and now it feels almost like spring. Let's take a moment to appreciate Roxanne, who plows our parking lot. I know when I came in on Monday, there was just a little square undone because there was about this much of snow, but then in time for Kids Club, it was all gone. So we do give thanks. We know that is done free to the church, and we very much appreciate that. I just want to take a minute to explain the bulletin, which is to say that because we didn't have church last week, we just kept the same bulletin. And so there's just two things to note. One is that the senior youth group that was planned for last Sunday is not today. It will be rescheduled for February 14th, senior youth group. And also, too, then you'll see, like, the names for junior church and worship leader and things like that. Those are last week's names. So if you're looking at that and it says your name for junior church and, you know, you're like, oh, no, I didn't prepare. That's why that is the case, okay? So we just didn't want to redo the bulletin. Thank you.
And I am not Jane Sandusky. We do have a number of announcements this morning. We do have junior youth group is today. We'll meet today after church and until 3 p.m. Lunch will be provided and transportation home if needed. See either Cheryl or Janice Simpson for that. Inside your bulletin, there's a yellow insert, and the yellow insert is for Easter flowers. Easter. February orders have to be in by February 28th. Okay, so if you're interested in purchase, did I get that right, Jackie? Okay. We also have in your chimes next week, Super Soup Cook-Off, February 7th after worship, before the big game. It's that time again to break out the cookbooks, search the internet, or to pry Grammy from her secrets for the best darn soup recipe ever. Enter your soup for $5, and tasting is free. Cup of soup to take home is $1, and so on, so on, so on. Please take a look at that in your bulletin. Women's Bible Study will be Monday, 7 p.m., February 1st. Okay. Did I miss any other announcements here? Oh, board meeting will be
Wednesday
at 6:30. And there is a work day. Tuesday, February 2nd. They'll be here to check the groundhog.
No work day on Tuesday.
Okay. And the groundhog's going to come out. We're going to have lots more winter to go. Woohoo! All right. Are there any other announcements?
Yes.
Sure.
MOPS is Tuesday at 5:30.
Okay. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes. An emergency. Yes. That is an emergency. Okay. So we need some lovebirds out there to do that. Okay, any other announcements? None? Hearing none, the community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn this morning is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 337. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, verses 1, 2, and 4, and please stand.
Thank you.
gather on God's day, let us honor it. We open God's word, let us learn from it. We are surrounded by God's presence, let us bask in it. We are offered God's grace, let us receive it. Let us pray. Help us, Lord of all, to be tuned into your presence this morning. There's much that threatens to distract us, both outside ourselves and within ourselves. And it's important for us to dispel anything that would distract us from our worship. Make us ready to hear, willing to praise, eager to learn, sensitive to your spirit, intentional in prayer, and open to any new vision you wish to share with us this day. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. If I give away all my possessions, but do not have love, said Paul, I gain nothing. Let us not only give our morning offering, but may we also do so in love. Our offertory hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 547, The Church's One Foundation, verses 1, 2, and 4.
present our gifts not just out of duty or obligation, but especially out of love. Love for others, love for the church, and love for you, our God. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 19, found in your pew Bibles on page 498. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is true, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are true, and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern his error? Clear thou me from hidden faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, and I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Our anthem this morning is by our sanctuary choir, Seek Ye the Lord.
In Isaiah 55, we read, Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Christianity is not a religion. It's a life-transforming relationship with Christ. Religion represents our efforts to find God. Christianity is God's effort to seek and to save us. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. So it is up to us to seek the Lord.
Thank you.
First Church of Connellsville this last Sunday of January. As I said before, what a difference a week makes. It is wonderful to be back gathered. I hope that you're all warm and safe. Last week, it's always a difficult decision to cancel church. I'm always living in fear that somebody will not get the message and will come. And also, where I live, the weather was not quite as bad as it was here, but I know that I spoke with Roxanne about how hard it would be to plow the parking lot, and then I got a call from Wanda saying that she wasn't getting out of her house, and I thought, well, let's cancel church. So I hope that nobody showed up last week. I hope you're all warm and good, and hope, Peggy, you didn't slip on the ice trying to get to church. I look over, Peggy, I don't know what the story is there. I hope you're okay. We pray for all those who are not here. We know some are still very sick and snowed in, or at least not wanting to come out on a cold day. We know some are traveling. But we need prayer for those who are here as well, for one another. I know that many of you have been dealing with terrible illnesses. It's wonderful to see your face, Linda. Glad to see you're doing better. I know it's been tough for you. And I know that, as I said, I hope Peggy's doing well. And we do lift up one another in prayer together as we worship together. We course can worship in our homes, and I know that we did last week, but it is not the same as worshiping as the body of Christ in the house of God. As we lift up prayers this morning, I want to give thanksgiving. I have an uncle. His name is Donald. We call him Bubby. So my uncle Bubby has this wonderful news. He had esophagus. He had cancer in his esophagus. I know there's another way to pronounce that. I wasn't going to do it. Esophageal cancer. I say had because through radiation and chemo, they can't find it. And he was worried because the surgery for that was going to be very invasive. But he received wonderful news this past week that he is cancer-free, and we pray that will continue to be. So we give thanks for Donald Stillwell, for Uncle Bubby, that he's doing well. What other joys do we want to share this morning? What are the thanksgivings and concerns that we need to pray for, people that we need to add to our prayer list? Peggy's raising her good hand. Pray travel mercies for your uncle and pray healing for your aunt. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning. Mike? Pray for the family of Woody Ridgway, passed away this week, in particular his daughter Dorothy. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Gary. It's wonderful news for Kimberly Taylor. We pray for her continuing. She's not out of the woods, but that's great news. Thank you for sharing that with us as she battles brain cancer. Pray for Anne's. Aunt Miriam had a stroke and a heart attack this past week, so very much in need of our prayers this morning. Are there any others? Roxanne? So we pray for the family of Rocco. What was his last name? Ross. Pray for them as they deal with this loss and also the taking care of the affairs after the death of a loved one. Yes. And if you also have prayer requests that were unspoken that you would still like someone to add to the prayer list, please also write the name down on the cards that are in front of you. You can put it in the offering tray, the church behind Armando and Arnold back there, or you can just give it to me on the way out. Seeing none other, let us now take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We are gathered here as your people, as citizens of your domain, as those who have experienced your power and as those who will one day share your glory. Honoring you for all that you are and all that you have done, we confess to you, Lord, maker of heaven and earth, that as individuals and as a church, we have disobeyed your laws. We have failed to follow the example of your love. We have harbored animosities and ignored the cry of the needy. We have not pursued justice for the helpless or forgiven those who have harmed us. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, our self-centeredness, and give us a heart to do what is right. Open our ears to the cries of those in need. Open our eyes to the needs that are right before us. Sensitize our consciousness to injustice, and may we be able to see beyond our own selves and our families and friends. Help us, Lord, to walk in the shoes of others, to express the compassion and understanding of Jesus Christ, to mirror his love and his welcome, to feel within us the love of Christ toward others each day. May we be peacemakers in a tension-filled world and healers in a society in great pain. We ask these things, Lord, that knowing that you have called us to be instruments of your grace and builders of your kingdom and laborers in your vineyard. And so we ask that you will equip us with the skills to spread your gospel, to share your love, to bring your healing to a world in great need. And so before we go out into the world to do this, we ask now for healing and peace to those who are in need. For the family of Rocco Ross, suffering from his passing, give them also a strength to sort through his belongings and tie up his affairs. And in this process, Lord, bring them peace. Draw them closer to each other. For the passing of Woody Woodridge, we say the same. We ask the same, that they may also be drawing one another, his children and his loved ones who've been left behind, in the process of funeral and grieving. May they find peace. For those who are sick and battling terrible diseases, we pray healing. Peggy's Aunt Helen going through more chemo. For Kimberly continuing to battle brain cancer. For Aunt Miriam, who has suffered a stroke and a heart attack, we ask your healing and your presence in their life. We know that you are there, Lord. We pray that they will turn to you and draw all strength from you. And we do rejoice on this good news that you have given us regarding Kimberly. We pray that the healing will continue for her. We rejoice also for the healing of Donald Stillwell. We pray for them, his family, that this may continue to be the case. Lord, we give you thanks that you have called us together to be your body in this world, and each of us individually members. And we give you thanks that we may be able to pray to you and to worship you in our own homes and on our own, but we also know the importance of coming together, each of us, to create a larger body of Christ. We give you thanks for this place. We give you thanks for this church. And we give you thanks that you exist beyond these walls. May we take your peace and your love and your grace and your mercy beyond these walls, spread them to all whom we know, they may become part of the body as well. It is in your name we pray these things. It is in your name we give these thanks. And together we say, Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Good morning, good morning. How are you? Have a seat, have a seat. Did you guys enjoy the snow? Pretty fun. Did you play in the snow? Okay. And you had some... Oh, yes, you were in Kentucky. I'm sorry, I don't mean to rub it in because Ben said the same thing to me. You only got like a couple inches, but it's still snow. It's fun. Yeah, I'm stalling for time. Here we come, here it comes. Do you guys like chocolate? Ahead of us. I like chocolate. I bet a lot of you like chocolate. I bet a lot of you get chocolate. Valentine's Day is coming up. Chocolate is a good thing. But here's the thing about chocolate, right? I like it, but by itself, I don't love it. So if you give me a piece of chocolate and all it is chocolate, I'm gonna say thank you, but I will get real excited if you were to give me chocolate that had something in it. Chocolate with almonds in it, peanuts in it, chocolate with peanut butter in it, right? Jerry? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold that thought. So, I like chocolate, but I like it better if it's got something in it, okay? So let's just remember that. Let's sit that thought over here for a second. Do you guys like caramel? Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I feel kind of the same way about caramel as I do with chocolate, right? If you give me a piece of caramel, that's good. But you ever had those caramels that have, like, cream inside of them? Oh, I love those. If you take caramel by itself, it's okay. But if you mix it with something else, I like it. No. Did you like them? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So, I like chocolate, but not as much by itself as with something else. I like caramel, but not as much by itself. What if, just talking here, you took caramel and you chocolate and you put them together? Would that be good? I did not expect that reaction. Look, we all like different things here, okay? You're not going to like the end of this children's sermon as much. Chocolate and caramel, I think, go great together. Let me ask you this question. I have here a bag of candy, and what I want you to tell me is... Oh, man, two wrappers. Is this chocolate... Why am I talking about that, right? You know the children's sermon isn't about chocolate and caramel, right? What's it about? What's the children's sermon about? God, right, right, right. And? Jesus, right. Have you heard, we've heard that Jesus is the Son of God, right? And that's really good. Because Jesus is the Son of God, we believe he is powerful. Well, we use the word divine. Why is this good? Because when we pray to him, we know he can do things, right? What's the greatest thing Jesus ever did? Mix chocolate and caramel together? What is the greatest thing Jesus ever did? Come on. Well, that's later on. He saved us. He rose from the dead. Very good, very good. We read today in Sunday school about how he rose a friend of his from the dead. His name was Lazarus. If Jesus was human, he couldn't do that, right? We don't know any humans who could do that because he was divine. He could do it. So Jesus is God. That's great. Jesus is divine. He has all his power. Okay? Now, is Jesus just divine? Is he just God? What else is he? Human, right. We believe that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. Now, why is this good? Because if Jesus was just God, if he was just divine, would he know what we go through? Would he know the temptations we experience? But he does know. Do you know why? There's a story that we will be talking about soon in a couple weeks where Jesus was tempted. And he was tempted by the devil, and he overcame it. And if he was God, that's the easy thing to do, but he was also human, and he overcame it. So Jesus is human and divine, and it's mixed together in this really important connection, this really important package, because Jesus, because he's human, knows what we go through. He knows when we're tempted to do things that are wrong. He knows if we're tempted to take a cookie that we shouldn't have. He knows if we're tempted to one of the kid on the bus. But because he's divine, we know he can help us. We know that he can be with us even when we don't see him. And we know he could do what? You said it earlier, Simon. Save us, ultimately. Bring us to God and be with us in heaven, okay? That's the amazing mystery of Jesus. He is human and divine and all rolled into one. That's what makes him so special. So, many of you have asked, can you eat this? You can. I'm going to give you one. But when I give it to you, I want you not just to pop it in your mouth real quick. I'm going to give you the one that's already opened. I want you to look at, you know, there's caramel and there's chocolate. You don't want one? I want you to think of the way in which Jesus is human and divine, and it mixes together. It's this perfect combination. Do you like chocolate and peanut butter? I don't have those, so don't get excited. But have you ever heard there was a commercial for Reese's Peanut Butter Cups that says, two great tastes that go great together? Well, that is the case here with chocolate and caramel. That's the case with Jesus, okay? It's because of the two things that come together, human and divine, that he will save us ultimately, okay? So I'm going to give you each one. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to drop one at you. Okay. When you get one, you can go to your class. Seemed like a good idea at time to pop that in my mouth, but I forgot I got a sermon I got to preach. So, kind of regretting that. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the first letter of the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. And that's found in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. On page 174. And we read. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not heed this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but strive for the greater gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many passages in the Bible are relatively easy to understand but difficult to live out. And today's passage, I believe, is just such one. For many Christians throughout the world have different practices and beliefs. But each derives these practices and beliefs from recreating what they believe is the early form of the church. We all begin with the gospel. We all begin with the Bible. We all begin with the same text. And 2,000 years or so later, we have a church that spreads across the world and yet is vastly different in its forms, its worships, even its beliefs. The Catholics try to recreate the early church structure beginning with the disciples. In a sense, the disciples then are the first bishops of the church, and then it goes on from there, with the Pope being the heir of the Apostle Peter. The Baptists try to recreate the early church organization, the simple church organization, the loose early church organization. Pentecostals try to recreate the early church's dependence on the Holy Spirit. Peter thought everything, he had it all worked out, and then the Holy Spirit came and said, no, send the message to the Gentiles. And so he did because of what the Spirit told him. And so Pentecostals really go with the Spirit. Well, as you know, all of this has caused a great deal of division in the church. To look at it positively, what we can say is that the church represents many different ways of worshiping and experiencing, so that when different bodies of the church try to work together, we try not to say, well, we have it right and you have it wrong. We try to say, well, we emphasize this part of the body and this part of the body, and we try to work together. I think that's really the way it goes, or has to go. The church working together, it's a word called ecumenism. So you might have representatives of the disciples, of the Methodists, of the Catholics, of the Orthodox Church, trying to work together, trying to come together. But the goal here is not to then eliminate all these different denominations, but to get them all to see that each one represents a different body, part of the body of Christ. And each one has different gifts and different spirits and different abilities. And when we work together, we can accomplish a great deal. That's the optimistic take. As you probably know, that is the take that people subscribe to less frequently than the pessimistic take, which is that we are right and everyone else is wrong, and we argue. That has been a great deal of what has happened over the history of the church. Really, it even goes back to the beginning. If you want to recreate the early church, everybody who recreates the early church thinks, well, we're going to recreate the early church and then everyone's going to get along. But in the early church, they didn't get along. The disciples divided amongst themselves, often disagreed with one another, argued with one another. Even when Jesus was there, they argued with each other. They even argued with Jesus himself, Peter rebuking Jesus. Surely that's not your case, Lord, when Jesus tells him about his crucifixion. So, unity is our polar star, as Thomas Campbell once said. It is also something that we have very rarely achieved from the beginning of the church until now. The church that started with 12 followers now has 1,200 and more denominations, branches. Each one of them can be divided over very many different things. Each congregation can become divided over issues big and small, as we know all too well. It has occurred, even though there have been many attempts at finding unity, and sometimes as a direct result of those attempts, sometimes as a result of those attempts. We know that Easter is coming. You probably know that we do not all worship Easter at the same time. It is very confusing in the calendar how it works. Our Easter is going to be March 27th. But then there's what's called Orthodox Easter, which this year will be, I believe, May 1st. And it is the widest stretch between them. And we can get into it, but basically we have different calendars, and so the dates are on different days. Now, I have once said that I was frustrated that Easter's always changing. We never know what it's going to be. I don't like it when it's real early like it is this year. I said, let's have it the second Sunday of April and be done with it. That would be the best. And I did not know that people much higher than me have been listening, because I read in the paper that an ecumenical council is working on doing that very thing, of having Easter be the second Sunday of April. And this is the Pope, head of the Orthodox Church, and the Anglican Church, and many of the Protestant denominations as well, kind of working this out. I will believe this when I see it, because we know that churches coming together to make a big decision like this doesn't often happen. Still, maybe it'll happen. Disciples of Christ believe in the motto, in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, in all things charity, which is a great motto in theory, but the problem is what are the essentials? And if you want to know what the essentials are, you can look at the Gospels and you can say, well, what did the Gospel writers agree on? What do they all have in common? Those are the essentials, and one thing they have in common is the story of Easter, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't all have the Christmas story, but they all have the Easter story. So you would like to think that as Christians, we could then all agree upon Easter and celebrate it together, but often we can't. So this is an example of division in our own day. But as I say, division has gone all the way back to the beginning. And when we read today from this first letter of the Corinthians, from the Apostle Paul, he writes to them because they are divided. They are arguing. They are in disagreement with each other over many things. Some big, some small. The main thing that they're dealing with is there were Jewish Christians who follow the law. These are people who were Jewish first. Then they became Christians. They continued to follow the law. They continued to not eat certain foods. They continued to not wear certain clothes. The men continued to be circumcised, or rather to insist that new converts be circumcised. And that's really the issue. Because then there were Greek Christians who knew nothing of the law. And there were slave Christians who had no rights. And there were free Christians who owned slaves. And there were men and there were women whose status in society were vastly different. What did they do? They were also divided over who their minister was, so to speak. Now, of course, it's not like a church. Paul wasn't there. He founded the church, he left. And when he left, new people moved in. And they taught different things than Paul did. Paul was moved to boast of his weakness because of other teachers who boasted of their strength. But still, other Corinthians believed that they were followers of the Apostle Peter, and some believed that they were followers of the Apostle Paul. And this created a great deal of controversy, division, strife. One of the great authors and scholars of the church, A.N. Wilson, wrote a great biography of the Apostle Paul. It's simply titled Paul. I recommend it strongly. He wrote of the situation, "One who looks for a unified church of Corinth must reject it. If by church is meant a single organized unit, rather than a rabble of very different, very unintellectual, and very disorganized people who happen to meet together in one another's houses for religious meetings." Paul, however, felt protective of his flock, and rejected the idea that there could be a Paul party or an Apollos party or a Peter party. But this is precisely what was happening. Paul hears word of it. He writes to them, "For some claim to be followers of Paul, others claim to be followers of Peter, even though none of these men were currently in their community. Think of it this way. Think of it as I left, and maybe you have somebody preaching on Sundays, and the church splits because some of you believe that you are followers of Sabella, and some of you are followers of Sandusky, and some of you are followers of Stillwell, or whoever came next, when in fact, we are all followers of Christ. Not only will we be divided if that happened, we would be divided over the completely wrong thing, fighting over the wrong person. Well, as I said, every church believes that it is recreating the early church or the correct church. This is the problem that Thomas Campbell saw. Thomas Campbell, one of the founders of our denomination 200 years ago, a Presbyterian minister, he saw that many people called themselves followers of Luther, and many were followers of the Pope, and many were followers of Calvin and Wesley, or many other different people. His famous quote, "We are not the only Christians, but Christians only," refers to those who are more proud of their sect of Christianity than Christianity itself. And that leads to our strange name. You know, we are the Christian Church, in parentheses, Disciples of Christ. Our denomination is Disciples of Christ. Why do we put it in parentheses? Because we want people to see that we are Christians first, disciples second, as opposed to, say, the Baptists, the Lutherans, and the Methodists. And, of course, this is a very well-meaning thing, but then other people think that we're just being snooty, right? We're Christians first. I love it. What church do you go to? We go to the Christian church. Well, aren't they all Christian? Yes. We're not trying to put ourselves up above others, but sometimes it does come off that way. Every time we have reform, the intentions are very good, but they don't always work out. Well, they never work out the way that it was intended. In his day, Campbell saw that even within his own denomination, the Presbyterian Church, there were so many divisions. I've told you before that Alexander Campbell, his son, was a New Light, anti-burger, seceder Presbyterian. And many of those divisions have been lost to history. But the point of it being that within his own church, there were at least four different types of Presbyterians you could be, at least four different divisions. And as you can understand, if you've ever had an argument with your brother or sister or a family member, people within the same family often fight with each other more than outside. I have a friend who literally believes that he is more Catholic than the Pope. And I promise you that he probably gets along with atheists and Muslims better than he does with Protestants. And within our own denomination, there are those who share our history. 5 years ago, I attended the 200th anniversary celebration of Thomas Campbell's declaration and address in Washington, Pennsylvania. And there were many, many people from the Disciples of Christ. But from the independent churches, there were none. From the Churches of Christ, there were none. But there were people there from the Presbyterian Church, even though he left them and turned his back on them. Oftentimes, within our own family, we argue more than with those outside. And we see that on a national level, a worldwide level. We see that on a congregational level. Sometimes the arguments we have with those in our own family, including church family, are worse than those outside. Now, as we stand here today, 2,000 years removed from Jesus Christ, 200 years removed from Thomas and Alexander Campbell, this passage of the body of Christ, it means it's more relevant now than ever. Because the body of Christ is larger, and there are more members, and we are different in ways in which they never were before. Different countries, different languages, different traditions now, who have a history that spans hundreds of years, which sometimes is hard to overcome when it comes to witnessing together as one body. For there is only one head, and it isn't anyone but Jesus Christ. What is true of the church at large is also true of the church at home, the congregation. For we are also a church of many members, but we are one body, and yet we too rarely move and act as one body. Now, I do not mean to say that we must always think alike, because that will not happen. That will not happen. And I don't think that it really should. Having unity is not the same as conformity. The goal of the church is for us, different as we are, to either put aside the differences or celebrate the differences and move together as a congregation and as a body. One of the benefits of coming to church is to be around people who are different from you in some way that you may learn from them and they from you. A church where everyone is alike is not what the body of Christ is to be. Rather, the body is an idea. The church is a place where we all come with different talents, ideas and thoughts and opinions, and we work together to accomplish more than we thought we could or that we know we could alone. More importantly, the body of Christ comes together when we forget about our wills and focus on God's will together. Now, it's easy to see it in such a way that this person can play music, and this person can speak, and this person can cook, and so when we come together, we use our different talents and we do great things. But what about this person thinks this way, and this person thinks that way, and this person has this experience, and this person comes from this background? It's another way in which the body works together. Now, many times we have done this, and we could list the activities that we do together and things that we have accomplished. But many times it's a hard thing for us to do. And do not expect that as a body with many members, we will never have disagreements. But what kills me as the minister and hurts the body is when the foot says to the hand, I have no need of you. The foot may say to the hand and say, I don't agree with you. Or the foot may say to the hand and say, I don't see it that way. But when the foot says to the hand, I have no need of you, now we have a problem. In the last 12 years that I've been in this church, many people have come, many have stayed, and the ones who have left did so because they went to be with God or they moved away, but too often, people sometimes just stop coming. Or more likely, they get mad at one or two others and they say, I have no need of you. But they do. We all do. We all have need of one another, whether we wish to admit it or not. Sometimes people figure it out and they come back. But the body is always impoverished when they are gone. And so as your minister, I always check up on people when I call on people when I haven't seen them for a while. I always ask if everything is all right. And sometimes they are mad at me and I'm able to talk with them and work things through. Sometimes they're upset about something going on in their life. And again, we work through it. Things are okay. But oftentimes they are mad at somebody else. Either in the church or outside of the church or who knows what's going on. Sometimes they don't even know why. And I know that literally I am preaching to the converted. Literally I'm preaching to people who are here in church, but I want to say this to you for two reasons. One is so that if the day comes when you find yourselves at odds with another person in the pew, you remember that you are a member of the body of Christ and so are they. And you do not say to yourself, I'm mad at the nose, so I will leave the body. For doing so is somewhat like cutting off your nose to spite your face. Do your best to solve the problem. Do your best to reconcile yourself to one another. Or at the very least, simply acknowledge that you're going to be different, but you are both part of the same body. And you need one another. Secondly, I hope that there is a member that has not been around for a while. You might take a minute to see how they are doing and invite them back. I fear that sometimes they expect the minister to call them, and so it doesn't mean as much to them. But perhaps if they hear from the foot, from the ear, from the mouth and the eye, if they hear from another member of the body, it might mean more. We are all members of one body, and the body must have all of its members working together to function. Sometimes people just want to know that they are missed. We must never fail to support and encourage one another, to empower one another, to complement each other's gifts and talents, or simply to let them know that they are missed. And we need them. As you pray for the health of your whole body, as you pray for the health of bodies of all the members, let us also pray for the health of the whole body of Christ. For it is ours and theirs and everyone's together. Amen. Now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of your membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 677 in the Brown Hymnal. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
it's important for us always to remember the disciples and to understand that although they were always often very much the same, they're probably about the same age, from the same era, similar backgrounds, and yet at the same time, they were very different. 12 disciples who had very different viewpoints and expectations or desires from Jesus. You know, we know that there was a tax collector. That's somebody then who works for the Roman Empire. There was a zealot who wanted the Roman Empire overthrown or kicked out of Judea. We know that Peter was bold and always trying to get to the front. Bartholomew, who was always at the back. We never hear anything from him. We know Thomas, who doubted. We also know that the brothers, who fought with each other over who was going to be at the left and the right of Jesus Christ. 12 disciples in the inner circle, they knew him so closely, they fought with each other, and they were different. And that's important for us to understand that Jesus still loved them, still called them to establish the church. That's important for us as we move forward, for there are many things that people may know us for. They may know us for our theology. They may know us for our eloquence or our zeal. They may know us for our service. But the most important thing is that they know us for our love, because that is what reaches people the most. And I believe that is what united those 12 disciples. It was their love for Jesus Christ. I can't imagine that they would have come together on their own. It was only through their love of him that they put aside all the things that separated them and focused on the things that united them. I think that's why it's essential that we come to this table every week and remember the Last Supper and the disciples who were gathered there and all the ways in which they were different and all the ways in which they failed him or even one another, and yet still he forgave them and sent them forth to start the church, which they have done, which spans across the world, which is very much divided over very many things. But if we remember that what unites us is our love of Christ, still the body holds and still the body moves forward. Let us share in this meal together, knowing that each of us are members of the same body, that we love one another, that we worship together, and that we move forward together. Now this morning, let us pray.
Father, I thank you once again for meeting us here at this communion table. What a difference a week makes. Last Sunday at this time, I was standing with 5 neighbors behind my garage, praying in a circle for strength and for safety as we shovel each other out. People were stranded on the turnpike, strangers helping strangers, neighbors helping neighbors, warming shelters open, homeless shelters open. Father, people were caring about each other. Lord, as the snow melts, I hope that caring continues. I pray that we will still love each other, that we will still be neighbors in our neighborhood, that strangers will still continue to help other strangers. Lord, help us to love thy neighbor as thyself. In Jesus' name I pray.
For I hand unto you what was also handed on to me. That on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after having blessed it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup. And after having blessed it, he poured it out. And said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Now the community comes together to respond to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, and we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 560 in the Brown Hymnal. Blessed be the tie that binds 1, 2, and 3. Let us stand as we sing. Bow our heads for the benediction. In a world of much darkness, may you follow the light. In a world of much confusion, may you point to the light. In a world of much despair, may you be light.